Hello, everybody. Welcome to Isle's Pilot, brand new podcast. We've had our disagreements about what to call this podcast, but...
As is usual for Isle Podcasts.
Yes, indeed. I would like to go with my old college lacrosse radio show that I did back at the University of Maryland's name, which is In the Crease. But Kyle Devitt, our esteemed Kyle Devitt, the Iron Man of Isle Podcasts, wants to call it something else.
I mean, it's your phrase. It's lit, fam. The podcast. Boom. All right, it's a bad idea. Also, I'm really bad at naming podcasts. I don't know if you guys have seen or heard. Well, you can't see the podcast. If you've heard the other podcast I do with Patrick McEwen, you can understand
what. What is it? Is it the DMP now? Is that what we're calling it?
DMLP, because DMP is something platform, digital management platform. So we're doing Devitt McEwen Lacrosse Pod.
Okay.
If that sounds right.
So, DMLP.
Yeah. Should be good.
All right.
So what do we got on tap today?
Well, let's kind of give everybody a little bit of a primer on what we're kind of, what the aim of this podcast is.
Man, do they know who you are?
Yeah. They know I'm Dan Abern.
Dan Abern.
Everybody knows the voice of Dan Abern. At Dan Abern 2423, please follow me on Twitter. I have no followers.
He needs followers.
I need real followers. I'm convinced that like half of lacrosse Twitter is like doing the whole like election thing where they have like, they're buying like followers. Like they're doing, who's that guy who got caught with all the followers that were fake?
I don't recall.
It wasn't a politician. It was a guy in sports.
Oh, Bayless got caught. Well, yeah, logging that into his own Facebook account and saying, "Sweet show, bro," with his own avatar.
I know you stole my move. I was going to do that for this one, but
I'll do it.
All right. So the point of this podcast, I think, is to talk college lacrosse. You know, it's December 21st when we're recording this. Lacrosse will be in full swing in maybe less than 2 months by the time. Ugh. Yeah, crazy, right?
Do you know what that means? That means, like, we lose our lives as we know them for...
I don't know. I kind of look forward to that.
Like, I like it, but at the same time, like...
I get pretty hyped about going to a college lacrosse game on a Saturday. I'm not going to lie. Like, that's, like...
Yeah.
I'm all about
it. That's because you don't have to do the Tuesday games. Guess who does the Tuesday games by himself in front of, like, three different screens? This guy.
I did a Tuesday, like, you know, scoreboard shift one time, and it was interesting. Like, Marist ended up, yeah, I think, beating Stony Brook that day. That was crazy. Yeah,
don't lie. It was awful.
I mean...
It's okay. I do it now.
I mean, the lacrosse was good, but, like, the fact that I kind of had to sit in front of a laptop on, like, a Tuesday afternoon when I could have been, like, playing Xbox or something was kind of not so great.
Yeah.
It was kind of not so great. So back to the aims of this podcast. This is more or less a reboot, like I said, of a college lacrosse show that I did at Maryland back when I was an undergrad. Back then, it was just a radio show. The only people listening were my parents, and if I was really desperate, I would have my roommate call in for questions.
Oh, my God. I'm Dan Abern's roommate on a podcast.
It was pretty sad, yeah.
Okay. So what did you do on that podcast? What was the gist of it?
I mean, I would just be me talking college lacrosse for like 45 minutes.
Okay.
Just to myself. Like, this is my thoughts on this. Like,
well, that's why you bring me in. I'm the cooler. I cool everything down and heat it back up.
That's
what I do.
You're like the microwave.
Yeah. I'm Vinny Johnson for you older listeners.
So getting into the meat of this podcast, we want to kind of give like a semblance that we're like real people and we're not just lacrosse nerds. So we're going to have a little pop culture conversation. Cool.
Oh. If people don't know, literally no one in the office gets Dan and Mai's jokes because we're pop culture junkies. My stuff gets cut from articles because it doesn't sound like a joke. It sounds like me trying to be a jerk, but I'm actually referencing something else. But Dan gets my jokes, so that's why I'm on the podcast.
I mean, I get to remind the listeners real quick, I was the person who had to edit your like Space Jam piece because I was the only like employee around here who really knew Space Jam. And I was like, really? Like...
Yeah,
come on, like, biggest Oscar snub of all time, right?
That was my thought as well. It's like, oh my God, Abern's editing this because no one else can do it.
And I got that great rap reference from Rosie.
There you go.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah, he's legit.
But getting to pop culture, so for those who don't know, me and Kyle are actually pretty big Star Wars fans. Of course, Rogue One came out last week.
It did.
And we have our disagreements about that, but I actually think our biggest disagreement is about which Star Wars movie is the worst.
Wow. This is not a disagreement. This is a well-held opinion by everyone that breathes air. Phantom Menace is the worst Star Wars movie, and it's not close.
No. And I
tell me why.
First of all, let me put my opinion out there real quick. I think Episode 2 is the worst. It is so bad. The acting is terrible. The only saving grace in that movie is the battle on Geonosis. That little, like, Jedi battle. And after that, the rest of the movie kind of sucks. Yoda, lightsaber fight, total letdown. Like,
okay.
He fought for 3 minutes.
But the moment where he takes the little lightsaber out.
Yeah, and they do the music.
I mean, that's a pretty great moment.
Yeah.
And that's my – so one of the reasons I like Star Wars and movies like that is for moments, not necessarily always for story. And we'll get into this when we talk about Rogue One. But moments, to me, are what make movies movies and what separate movies. I mean, TV can have moments. Books have moments. Writing has all the form of writing and media has moments. But the moments you get in movies are so much more tangible and effective. And I think that's why Star Wars endures. Not just because Disney threw $400 billion behind it or whatever. I really think it endures because of the moments and the storytelling.
Okay.
And there is no moments or storytelling in Phantom Menace. Whoa, we're driving a pod. Whoa, look out, R2.
Come on, man. The movie kicks butt.
No, it doesn't. Everyone listening to this is like, who is this Dan Abram guy? What is wrong with him? Was he dropped as a child?
So, like, I've always had the opinion that Episode 1 is a bad movie. I will admit that. All the prequels are kind of bad.
Now we're changing our argument.
But I actually enjoy the movie is kind of what I'm saying. I think the plot, like, resonates with me. I do think there is a central character in Qui-Gon Jinn because when he gets killed by Darth Maul, I felt something.
Yes.
Okay.
You felt that Darth Maul was really cool and wasted in such a bad movie. That's what you felt.
Well, yeah, but he dies and, like, he kind of, like, dies because of his own arrogance. So.
I mean, technically, he doesn't die.
That's true.
Spoiler.
But I
for a movie from 1999.
But I do – I enjoy the pod race scene. I think that's cool. I enjoy, like, the battle at the end. They hit all the boxes. They have the lightsaber battle, they have the blaster battle, and they have the space battle.
Are the racist Trade Federation aliens in the first or the second movie?
Well, they're in all
they're in
three,
both, right?
But they feature prominently in the first one, technically.
Yeah. That's my problem with Phantom Menace as well.
And that is a fair problem to have. Like, I get the whole Jar Jar.
Yeah, I'm going to end this argument with Jar Jar. Jar Jar.
He was meant to sell toys. Like, I don't know. Like, I was watching it the other day. I laughed at Jar Jar because, like, you know that he's just an idiot.
Jar Jar also kind of a racist character, but we're not going to get it.
Yeah, and he's responsible for the emergency powers and all that.
Yeah, that's not good.
He's
it's
a Sith Lord, according to some.
So we disagree. We're never going to agree on this. But I want to know your rank before we get into Rogue One. All
right.
Rank all the movies in order because mine's going to surprise you. And no one agrees with my ranking, but go with yours.
All right.
Rank.
Number one is Episode 4, New Hope. 2, Return of the Jedi.
Oh.
3, Kid Empire Strikes Back.
Kid loves Jedi.
4 is Revenge of the Sith. 5 is Phantom Menace. And last is, of course, Attack of the Clones.
What about Rogue One?
Oh, we want to rank those two as well.
Where would you put it?
We want to rank Episode 7 and Rogue One as well.
Yeah. Where would you put it?
Where
would you put Rogue One?
Rogue One is definitely better. It's better than 7. And it's probably better than all three of the prequels combined.
Okay.
I'll say that. I'm not sure where 7 and Rogue One fit into the whole order of things.
The prequels are the worst. Anyway.
Yeah.
Either way. My rank would be Jedi. Yeah.
Jedi number one.
I love Ewoks. What of it? A veal Ewok is a delicacy in the Star Wars universe. I love Ewoks. Ewoks are awesome. Number two, Empire.
Okay.
3, New Hope. 4, 7.
Okay.
Episode 7, Force Awakens. 5 is Rogue One.
All right.
Revenge of the Sith, Clones, Phantom Menace. Yeah, I said it. I have good reasons for that, but we're getting a little off topic. Some people have already turned this off. So let's just do Rogue One real quick.
All right, Rogue One.
No spoilers for Rogue One. My review, as follows, is the reshoots ruined this movie, dude. Have you seen the first trailer? Go back and look at the first trailer. I saw the
first trailer.
There's like 18 things in the first trailer that aren't in the movie, and one of them is my I love cheesy dialogue, so I loved Vader, a couple of Vader's lines because he has cheesy lines, and you already know he's in the movie, so it's not a spoiler. The best line of dialogue that I love from the trailer was Jyn Erso, the main character, goes, "Isn't this a rebellion? I rebel."
I missed that one too.
And I was like, "Listen, I know that. I don't care how cheesy that is. It's actually not as cheesy as three speeches she delivers in the movie themselves." So I would just use that line of dialogue, and also would have made her character a little spunkier, would have cared a little bit more about her and her mission.
We'll come to that later. But I remember there was one line by Saul Guerrero where he's like, "What will you do? What will you do when they come for you?" And that wasn't in the movie either. What? I was waiting for that.
Also,
so cheesy.
What will you become? What will you choose?
Save the dream.
Yeah.
Save the rebellion.
Yes. Excellent.
So you're saying that you have an overall negative kind of preconception of Rogue One?
No, I liked it. It's good, not great. And I thought Force Awakens flirted with greatness a little bit more often.
Okay.
Although Rogue One felt a lot more lived in and less, "Oh my God, we need to sell toys."
Yeah.
Than Force Awakens. But I liked Force Awakens' arc better. And it's funny, like, people that love Star Wars, they're all like Han Solo, Chewie guys.
Yeah.
Dog, I'm a Luke Skywalker guy. I'm sorry. I know he's a nerd. He wants to go to Washington Wampas and Star Wars Station. Whatever he says. I can't, I'm Luke all the way.
Yeah.
You know, aren't you a little short for a stormtrooper? Has been said to me many times.
Well, yeah.
I mean, it's true. But that's why I like Luke, because he was the little guy that won.
Okay, okay.
And Jedi. The skiff battle in Jedi?
Skiff battle.
Where he's all, like, in the black, and he's like, "Yeah, I'm going to walk up this plank and then murk all of you."
Da-da-da-da. Yeah.
Exactly. That's why.
All right, so my overall review of Rogue One, I thought about this. I want to give it a numerical ranking. I think my first thought was an 85, but I refined it to an 84, and I think it could possibly go up to an 87. So it has the potential of a B to B plus for me. And I'm just like a huge Star Wars fanboy. I really loved it. I felt like it was total fan service, more so than, you know, Force Awakens was. Force Awakens, like you said, made to sell toys. Rogue One, made to, get all, the fanboys all cheesed up in the theater. Yeah. That's kind of what it was.
And if this were a spoiler review, I would point out all of the story, shall we say, inconsistencies in Rogue One.
Yeah.
But since it's not, I'll just say that I found the story to be inconsistent in many parts. And I could smell the reshoots. And I could sniff out the things that they tried to cover up. You can see the seams on the baseball. Very evident if you're kind of a story guy, which I also am. Moments guy and I'm a story guy, so.
All I know is that when I was growing up, my whole, Star Wars shtick was I wanted to be, an X-Wing pilot. So the fact that they had, a nice, lots of, X-Wings in the movie, some space battles, I was all about that.
See, Red Leader and Gold Leader were the same guys?
Yeah.
From New Hope?
Yes.
Yeah.
Sure, you bet. I was
oh, no, spoiler.
All cheesing up in
the. Oh, no, did I spoil that?
Kind of, but.
Sorry, guys.
I mean, if they've seen
cool thing you look out for.
If they've seen episode 4, they kind of know what happens anyway, right?
Yeah, they know.
Yeah.
Everyone knows the end of this movie. And then when it comes, you're like, oh, wait, what?
Yeah.
I saw it with Caroline Darney, who also works at IL, and she cried last night.
But she said she told me that she cried on not the same scene that I cried at. She cried at maybe 5 minutes before the ending. I cried at the actual ending.
She cried, but she figured it out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so go see Rogue One. Either way, it's kind of fun.
Go see Rogue One. It's awesome. All right, so since we are lacrosse journalists, we might as well talk about lacrosse.
You're a journalist. I'm just wisecracking dude.
So
I'm not a journalist. I hate when people call me a journalist. I didn't go to school for journalism, homie.
I did.
You did?
I did.
I studied Shakespeare and stuff, and I make puns. That's my move.
So one thing that the IL staff has done recently is the Face-Off Yearbook, which we actually released our top 20 rankings online yesterday. So, and surprisingly enough, Twitter did not explode. Would you agree?
I would agree. I thought they were very well received.
Yes. Twitter, we've kind of seen some backlash. We've seen some good reviews.
As opposed to years past, it was very muted. Yes. I will say that. Very muted.
But kind of like going off that, working on the Face Off yearbook, I think it's important to be said that the rankings reflect an aggregation, not necessarily a single person's thought. It's what everybody in the office thinks, what people in the media think, and kind of what the coaches think as well. We had them in last week. The top 25 in the book is not my top 25. It's not your 25. Top 25.
That's correct.
I actually have my top 15 that we may talk about later.
Go for it.
And as always, take preseason rankings with a grain of salt.
I mean, my...
Unless you're picking Alabama in college football.
I mean, my take on it is going to be... I'm regionally biased. That's why...
I mean, I'm regionally biased, too.
Yeah, but you're Maryland regionally biased. It's
and different. You're New England regionally biased.
Right.
You're
Shire and I
biased.
Think that I can't believe that Brown is at 10.
Okay, that's fair.
I know they don't have Jack Kelly. I know they don't have all these other guys. I know they don't have Blinn or Balestri. They had to redo their attack, but...
We'll get to this later, because I'm going to read you off my top 15, and you're just going to go off on me. Cool?
Okay.
Cool beans. All right, so yesterday we released our rankings online. Today it's gotten a lot more traction via the individual, like, lacrosse Twitter platforms for each team. But I'm going to read them off real quick. Number one, Denver. Two, UNC. Three, Maryland. Four, Notre Dame. Five, Loyola. Six, Yale. Seven, Syracuse. Eight, Duke. Nine, Navy. 10, Brown. 11, Towson. 12, Hopkins. 13, Albany. 14, Virginia. 15, Richmond. 16, Penn State. 17, Fairfield. 18, Air Force. 19, Rutgers. 20, Marquette. So, what are your immediate impressions of ours? Do you have any critiques, praises?
I can't believe Richmond's top 15. I actually missed that when I first looked at it.
Yeah.
So, that's a little eye-opening. And also, Virginia? Really? We think Lars is going to do that much? I do. I love Lars.
I love Lars,
but too. I think there's a huge possibility that you are not doing that this year.
That's fair.
It's that not going to take one offseason to fix that team.
Do you have any thoughts on the top three? That seems to be where the most contentious is.
I would put...
I think everybody agrees that those three belong there, but in what order?
I think... Yeah, I think Denver, with all the talent they return over UNC, because UNC lost a couple guys on defense that were huge for them. We have one on the pod, Evan Connell. They lost Zach Powers. I think they need to... they lost Puntrello, who was their initiator in like 50% of their sets. Like, it's a big thing. I know Goldstock's going to step up into a similar role, although he's not the same kind of player, be a little bit more of a distributor. I can see UNC. I mean, listen, I just think Notre Dame is better than Maryland.
Okay, that's fair.
Maryland lost a ton of guys. They lost like two midfields worth of guys.
That's true.
I know that they have all these highly touted guys, and they have Rambo, but Rambo might win wars in movies, but he's not winning the war like every game for Maryland. Sorry.
Have you seen the graphic that Maryland does for Rambo when he scores a hat trick?
No.
They do like the Rambo 3 cover, like the movie, like the VHS cover, and they like Photoshop Matt Rambo's face onto it, and it's super cheesy, but it's so glorious at the same time.
Yeah,
it's a thing of.
He's going to score a lot of goals. Don't get me wrong.
So I think what we should do is I'll read you my top 15. I will read you the name of the team, and then you can go off on me, say why it's a bad idea, and then I will give you my reasoning. All right?
Sure.
All right.
Go for it.
So my number one team, preseason, Maryland.
Are you serious?
Call me Homer, man.
You're a Homer.
All right.
Next.
No,
I don't even know. I don't know.
Come on, just give me.
Because it's irrational. It's irrational.
Why is it irrational? Come on, give me
a reason. You lost your goalkeeper. You lost all your midfielders.
Okay.
Who you got left?
We got Connor Kelly.
Okay.
You got Tim Rotans.
Okay, you got Rambo.
Lucas Gratinger. Same. All right, so you want to read the three sentences that I wrote for Maryland?
Yes.
I cannot pick against their senior class. Three starting
attackers. Which is what everyone said last year. Everyone said it last year. Sorry, go ahead.
But here's the thing with the senior class. Made the Final Four all 3 years, two straight national championship appearances. How can you pick against that? They've got the championship weekend pedigree.
They have the ability to get to the Final Four, yes.
Yes. So
that
I would
say... does not make them number one.
I mean, like, right now, would you say, though, that Maryland would seem a lock for the Final Four? Just a hypothetical.
Yes.
Okay. So there we go.
You got me on that one. Yeah. Okay. That's your best point. Even though they lost all those guys.
Yes.
Yeah. It's a machine. It's very slow moving. Yeah.
It's the process. You know, Maryland really is the Sixers, man. Trust the process and we will win the game.
No, because Maryland wins. This is completely wrong analogy.
So they're
please try another analogy.
So they're the process, but it works. No. They're like the Nick Saban process, kind of, in a way.
Okay.
Yes.
That's a better analogy.
All right. So number two, Denver.
Agree? Except they should be one.
Okay.
I'm happy they're two instead of who I think your number three is going to be.
Ooh. All right. So for Denver, I said Cannizzaro, arguably best player. With the best supporting cast around the best players, so to speak.
Yes.
Baptiste is in there, like their defense. Yep. Midfield, they'll figure it out. All right, so who do you think I have at number three?
UNC.
Yep. I have Carolina.
Yeah.
I think Carolina will figure it out, and dare I say, they may have some swagger coming in next season. Like, hey, yeah, man, we got it done.
Yeah, I think they have too much swagger.
Too much swagger?
And I think that's going to – they're going to have to learn some lessons. But I do believe in their talent. And I believe in their ability to score goals. And I feel, you know, I wasn't like this when I was a coach. But as someone that covers lacrosse and sees what lacrosse is going, where it's going and seeing the trends, scoring goals is the most valuable thing you can do.
Yes.
Whereas in many other sports, it's not, right? It's stopping the goals.
Yes.
I believe that scoring is how you win. I mean, it's obviously you have to score to win, but putting your emphasis onto your offense, I think, is more and more a viable option for teams that can get the right talent and skill sets to do so.
Yes, and I was thinking about this last night. UNC, they lost Chris Fifes to Vermont. They played situational defense. It didn't have to be great. It just needed to be good enough to win the game. I thought they did that really well last year. Hopefully they can keep it up.
Yeah. The problem is they got down against teams. Like, when they lost the Hofstra game and the UMass game, it's because they were down early.
Yeah.
It wasn't because they were getting beat up. It's because they were down early, and that translated over to their offense. Their offense couldn't score to bail them out. So indeed. As the season went on, that changed, and the offense was able to bail them out of almost every situation.
All right, so number four, flaming hot take coming in. You ready for this? I want you to guess. I want you to guess who I have at number four.
It's not going to be Notre Dame.
No, it's not going to be Notre Dame.
Is it Duke?
No, I'll give you three tries.
Loyola.
No.
Good, because you'd be wrong with Loyola, too.
Okay.
That's two guesses. Was my third guess? Oh my god, you're not this crazy. Is it Albany?
No.
Okay. All right.
It is Johns Hopkins.
Homer. You're a homer, dude.
You ready for my reasoning?
Go for it.
You're
from Maryland. Is that your reasoning?
Yes, I'm from Maryland, but that is not the technical reasoning. Love Hopkins junior class. Stamick, Tinney, Vallis. They're awesome. You got Crawley on the midfield as well. Got a bunch of young guys like Spinski.
If he plays midfield.
That's true.
Which we think he's going to. I think you have to, if he doesn't, you have to double pull that Hopkins midfield. And that makes them super dangerous.
I think you need to, like, double pull Joel Tinney. Just like, you don't do a double team on Joel Tinney. You do a triple team. Like, you just automatically double
pull. Send the house.
Send the house.
Yeah.
Send the meathead. Whoever that is. they got a bunch of underclassmen that are uber talented as well. You get Logan, if not Turnbull, that's kind of seemed to be still up in the air. Defense, they have to get their act together. 58th in scoring last year.
Yeah.
That's not that great.
Take the cuffs off, man. Take the cuffs off. Let the boys play.
And like I said, I think I said this in a recent article that I wrote for Iowa Magazine. They need to get that act together because if they run into a team like Brown that has a good goalie and can win faceoffs, look at what happened to them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Again.
Winning games 17-15 is not ideal for them anymore.
Offense wins you games. Got to score. Yes.
All right, number five, Loyola. Am I crazy?
You have them above Notre Dame?
I have them above Notre Dame.
Yeah, you're crazy.
All right.
Pat I know Spencer. Everyone loves Pat. God. Listen, Pat Spencer's great.
Yeah.
He's a great player. Goalie's good, too, at Loyola.
Kid's legit.
Go back. This is what I want you to do. Right. Every team has this game. And I remember this game is burned into my brain.
Right.
And I got a lot of crap for this. But I maintain the worst game I watched last year.
Okay.
The worst game all year was Bucknell Loyola in the semifinal of the Patriot League Championship.
What was the score of that game?
I don't even remember because I wiped it from my brain. It was awful.
I remember it.
It was awful. Awful lacrosse.
I remember, and I watched it too. And I said, this is a poor representation of how exciting both these teams can be and a poor representation of Patriot League lacrosse.
Well, it's also both the teams were doing 10-man rides and zone switches. And it was – I mean, listen, if you love defense, you love that game, shout out to Patrick McEwen. He probably, like, has that game on tape and wakes up and eats his Wheaties watching it. But no, sorry. Not for me.
All right. But, yeah, I think Loyola at number five. Okay. Patrick Spencer, he's the man. He's the man.
Oh, wait. Where's Loyola again? I forget.
Baltimore.
Oh, they're in Baltimore? Cool.
Yeah.
Homer. Homer.
Damn, you're really going after me here.
You told me to go after you.
All right, number six. I'm going to give the Ivy League a shout-out with Yale.
Okay.
You like Yale?
I love Yale.
Yeah. I love. They got no Michael Quinn?
They didn't have Quinn at the end of the year anyway.
That's true. And then they lost the Navy.
Yeah, but – and also, they lost the Navy because – that Navy goalie made like six saves in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
I mean, that was
what was it, 21 overall, I think?
It was a great game. It was a great game. They couldn't hit the mark, but I think that another guy they lost, Mike Kesey.
Yeah. Their big shooter.
Huge. Well, he's their also, he's a do everything midfielder, too. He's not just a shooter or initiator. Ben Reeves is legit, man. You just, if you put a bad match on him, he will score every time.
Exactly. So that's why I like him.
Yeah, they'll
play
for switches.
I like their minis, too. I think they're athletic, and I think their D is good enough to get it done, too.
I believe we just did a story on Yale.
We did. That should be coming on the next Inside the Cross.
I believe it's the cover? Is
it
the cover?
Ooh. It is.
Cover heat.
All right, number seven. Oh, man, I'm about to get it again. Guess.
Guess what? Is it another Maryland? Is it Towson?
Yes.
Oh, my God! This pod is over! Are you serious?
Towson, man.
Oh.
They've got a great attack.
Come on.
Ryan Drenner, man. He's bona fide towards time candidate. Two great attackmen around him. Got the same middies. Obviously, they lose their entire starting defense.
And their goalie.
And Tyler White. But I think they're gonna be okay.
Guys, if you could see the face I was making right now.
Darn it, you're going to get me again. Like, guess what number eight is.
What is eight? There's none left.
Navy.
What is it, like UMBC?
It's Navy.
Dear God, man. They just lost their best player.
I know.
Oh, my God.
And I accounted for that. I said losing Casey Reese hurts. But I think they have the best defenseman in all of D1 with Chris Fennell. But I will say this. Navy wins games between the boxes, but all their experience left is on the offensive end.
Yeah, and refs call everything on them, and they're in the box all the time because of the physical style they play, and they have not adapted yet. So, and they don't score a ton of goals. And they're in your what? What number was that?
Eight.
Eight? They're in the top 10.
Yes.
They lost their best creator and goal scorer.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't, they don't score goals anyway. And they're in the top 10.
Yeah.
And where are they again? Annapolis? Is that in Maryland? Because I feel like it's in Maryland.
It's in Maryland.
Okay.
All right.
I swear to God, if Brown is not the next one, I'm going to flip this table over.
It's not.
Oh, my God. Is it Cuse at least?
It is Cuse.
Oh, okay.
Whew.
You think Cuse, with the style they play, the players they have, and the schedule they have,
yes,
is worse than Navy, or should be ranked lower than Navy?
Yes.
This is why people from upstate hate people from Baltimore.
Yeah, I know.
This podcast is why.
I know.
I got you guys. I'm not even from upstate. No respect.
So
I respect
the thing
you.
About Navy versus Syracuse is that Navy is slightly more proven, I would think, than Syracuse
what?
Is because they lose guys like Dylan Donahue. They lose their top player.
Oh, you mean talent proven?
Yes.
I mean, you don't think Saucedo is ready to be
Saucedo
a star?
Saucedo is ready.
He's a star.
Yeah. But here's what also played
Jordan Evans, I agree, is not.
Here's what also played into this.
Reached
I think Syracuse, they played a fall ball exhibition. I think they scored, what, four goals?
Okay.
Football
doesn't mean anything, dude. That, come on. You know I'm going to pull the coach card here again.
Football
means nothing. Football is you working out who you're going to cut if you have to cut somebody and, like, trying some stuff out and seeing who fits where. It's not about scores. It's never about scores.
I know, but still, four goals for Syracuse? Like, what? I feel like that's what, like, the first team on their schedule, like, spots them when they play them. Like, whether it's, like, Siena or something like that.
Oh. Siena didn't like that.
I know.
You take that back.
I know.
They have a great mascot.
They giant saber dog. That dog within, it's amazing. Like, they have a great mascot, and they also have a great logo, because the dog is in the mascot. That is awesome.
It's true. But yeah. You're wrong.
I know.
Mariano? You don't love Mariano?
I love Mariano. I think they have a great midfield, and I think Bomber is going to start on their first line, maybe switch him in with that guy, Matt Lane, 6'7". He's supposed to be amazing. I think they're going to find their way because that's what makes them Syracuse, you know? Like, they always seem to somehow manage to, like, get an offense that ranks higher than 12 goals per game or something like that.
Yeah, they will.
Yeah.
They shouldn't
but
be
for
behind,
right now, I'm,
they shouldn't be behind a team that I'm struggles to score 10 goals.
All right. You got to save your energy for the next
one. No, I don't.
Yes, you do.
This is Brown. Please be Brown.
No. Number 10 is Notre Dame.
You guys can't see it, but I just dropped what I had in my hand.
His face is red.
My face is so red right now.
His pupils are dilating. You can see the veins in his neck.
Oh, my God. Okay, so is this based only on Matt Kavanaugh not being there?
A little bit.
Do you believe in Sergio Perkovic?
No. Kind of
no, 100% no, or like 80% no?
So this is what I wrote about Notre Dame.
Okay.
And I said, the first sentence is, call me a hater.
Hater.
But I don't think, no Kavanaugh, and I think that hurts them bad. He is a very balanced offensive player for them, and I feel like they need to find somebody who can fill his role. I think, you know, Mikey Wynn, Ryder Garnsey, and Sergio Perkovic are all better goal scorers rather than offensive initiators.
Garnsey was their initiator like half the time last year.
But only late in the season.
Yeah,
can he make that big jump from freshman to sophomore year where he can be the guy on offense?
No, he doesn't have to be. They have all those other guys. I mean, I think Notre Dame is going to, without Kavanaugh to bail them out at the end of whenever a stall call gets called on them, I think they're going to struggle in the six a couple times, and then they're going to figure it out. You know, like, I really feel like the thing that I think people don't take into account when they do these rankings is the coaching staffs. And then, when we do take that into account, we take it for granted. And I feel as if Notre Dame has an amazing defensive coaching staff, period.
Yes.
And despite all the chirps from Canadians watching the Notre Dame guys play box on Instagram, which that was rough. I don't know if you saw that.
I saw a little bit.
That was rough. I think that they're at least working on their movement off ball and getting guys open. And I think that as long as they have somebody who can share the ball, and they have Perkovic to bail them out with long shots. And by the way, not just long shots that go in, possession shots.
Yes.
They're gonna do well. I think that, yes, they'll miss Kavanaugh early, but I think that they're going to adjust because their coaching staff is great.
I think that's a good rebuttal. That is a good rebuttal. And I will say this. I even included an own rebuttal. Notre Dame, they're one of the more consistent winners in Division I. They've lost 21 games in the past 5 years. That's like an average of 4 games lost per year.
Yeah.
So they're always cranking out double-digit win seasons. So
it's funny because, like, I get accused of hating on Notre Dame because they play slow occasionally, and
yes.
I don't like that. But I will defend their coaching staff pretty much till the end. They make a lot of right decisions in games. And that has nothing to do with me being associated with the Notre Dame coaching staff.
All right, so
except that it does, because that makes me a homer. Go ahead.
Number 11. If it's not Brown, will you punch me in the face?
No.
It's Brown.
Okay. Because I knew it was Brown. If I said yes, I would have been a jerk.
Who else could it have been, though?
Duke? Could have been Duke.
Could have been Duke.
I think Brown's in a good spot. I think people applying their weaknesses also are not taking into account the perfect transition
yes.
Mike Daly represents for that team. The style will not change. The coaching style might change a little bit, but the style they play will not change. And the personnel still got Tiwara Tan, Human Tonka Truck, Dylan Malloy running your team. You're going to do all right. Also, Carson Song is crazy underrated.
Yeah.
Crazy underrated.
He was one of the players I identified as someone who should make a jump.
He will. And I'm going to tell you right now, he will.
And he still got the long balls. He got Tullett and Kemp. And you got JJ the Cyclone and Cyclone.
And Cyclone, yeah.
I
used to work on his off-ball D.
I just call him the Cyclone because otherwise, like, just like looking at his last name, I was like.
Yeah, I can't spell his name.
I was like, how do I pronounce this?
spell check does not do you any favors with Encyclo's last name.
But here's the thing I think that people are, you know, selling Brown short for. No Blynn, no Tills, no Ballistri, no Geralt, no Kelly. I feel like Brown's last, like, Brown's 2016 was the most senior-driven team out of anybody.
Like, it ended up being that way, but many people would argue that Maryland was built that way, too, and failed at the end.
That's fair. I mean, how can you say that about Maryland, though, when all of their starting attack were juniors last year?
Because their entire midfield and their goalie was, and those were the impact players in the playoffs. Right?
A little bit.
Right? They should have been.
But their entire offense was Rambo and Heacock were juniors. Connor Kelly ended up having, like, sneaky 30-plus goal season. Mm-hmm. He was a sophomore.
I mean, I would say that senior class disappointed.
That's fair.
I would say that, as a whole. Except for Bernlohr, who is filthy.
Yes. Well, here's a question I'm going to pose to you about Brown real quick.
Yeah.
Still think Brown will challenge for the Ivy title? Or do you think they should be the favorite?
I believe that it's going to be Brown and Yale in the Ivy title game.
What about Morgan Cheek and Harvard?
They have coming? They have 15 freshmen.
But they got Morgan Cheek.
They have
9 goals.
15 freshmen. Two of them are walk-ons. That team needs to not deal with their injuries, which really killed them last year. Losing Chihalka for multiple games really hurt them. Like it hurt them the year before. They need to replace so much senior leadership on that team. I mean, all over the place. Like LSM, defense, attack especially. Like Morgan Cheek is an excellent ISO catch-off-the-dodge player. A guy that can really – he was better at doing Steve Ponchrello than Steve Ponchrello was at doing Steve Ponchrello sometimes. And towards the end of the year, you saw that in the 9-goal game.
Okay.
But I think that he needs other people to play off of. And, you know, I think they'll do well. I really like that team. But I don't think they're going to challenge for that change.
Okay. That's fair. Number 12. You were kind of right. It's Duke.
Okay.
You're gonna like what I wrote about Duke. I'm gonna read this word for word.
Okay.
You're gonna love it or you're gonna hate me because it's so millennial. Ugh.
Go.
I said, don't bet against Dino. Duke is like the Hamilton of college lacrosse.
This podcast is over.
Even if you don't have Lin-Manuel Miranda, aka Miles Jones, in the show, it's still one of the best and the one everyone wants to see. Think Dino will have a new but ultra-talented cast. Is the podcast over?
That is so... Is there an analogy class that we can go to that I can just teach, maybe, that we could learn from together? Because I don't know if that analogy works. Dino Lin-Manuel Miranda? Is he the play?
No.
Is he the director?
I guess he's the director. Okay. No, I said Lin-Manuel Miranda is the star of Hamilton. And Miles Jones was the star of Duke last year, and I believe that Lin-Manuel Miranda is no longer doing the Hamilton show. I could be wrong here.
Getting paid tons of money to go work in Hollywood stuff.
Yeah, he's doing Moana with The Rock. He's getting that Hollywood money.
Okay, so my issue with this is that your analogy doesn't work. And to me, you should have found the director of the play that's still with the play, or the star of the play that's still with the play, and had him be Dino.
Okay.
And if no one gets it, that's on them. But that's because I'm an English guy, not a journalism guy. That's and you true. Went for the easily explainable analogy. I went for the correct analogy. And that is always my problem. So good try, good effort. I'm sure people will love that.
Good try.
Super
participation trophy for me?
Yeah. I mean, you can get one of the participation trophies for signing your letter of intent.
Have a moment here.
Collect yourself.
All right, number 13. This one should be fun to talk about. Virginia.
Too high.
You think too high?
They can't do it in one off season. I'm sorry.
Even with all the type of people that they recruit, the type of athleticism.
No.
You don't think
they're still dealing with issues with that team. Left over from the previous coaching staff.
Who would you rank above that I already haven't mentioned over Virginia?
Albany.
Okay, because that's who I have next.
I would have Albany there. I think Albany is criminally underrated every year. And yes, the Thompsons gave them notoriety, but that team is amazing. And talk about teams that fit my personal philosophy of score tons of goals, win tons of games. That's Albany.
Yeah.
And they ride.
That's true.
Which is my favorite thing. If you don't ride and you're a lacrosse player, I will call you out this year. That's my mission. If you're an attackman in D1 and I watch your game and you don't ride, you're getting written up by me about not riding. And I'm asking about you in the presser. So ride. And your coach is going to love me for it. He's not going to hate me for it.
All right, so let's go back to Virginia real quick. You don't think they can do that?
I don't think they have enough talent. No.
In what sense?
Any sense.
Like, you just don't think they have talent at the long pole? Do you not think
I don't think they have the long pole talent. I don't think they have the goalie talent. I think that their attack talent is very one-sided in terms of they don't share the ball well. I think that Lars and his entire staff are going to change that, but I think that takes time. I don't think it's going to happen overnight. People are putting a lot of expectations on Virginia that the coach, and it's funny because this kind of flies in the face of what I said earlier about not loving the coaching staff. I love this coaching staff.
It's the best.
No one's a bigger Lars Tiffany fan than I am. No one. That's a fact. No one is. Maybe his like wife. That's it. Okay? And his daughter. That's it. I just think it's not enough time.
That is fair.
I just think there needs to be more time. Fair. And he needs to get guys that buy into his, not his system, his way of thinking. Because that's not everybody. It's just not everybody.
Okay.
So I think, will they finish the top 20 team?
Here's a question. Will they finish with a winning record?
Ooh. Plus, minus? Give me a margin of error. Winning record is like what? It's going to be close.
Yeah.
If they do, it's going to be one or two wins.
Yeah.
I do not think they're going to rattle off a 12-win season.
No, not at all. I don't think that either.
Okay. But you have them in the top 15.
Yes. Just based on like the amount of talent that they have on the roster.
Where?
In the midfield, at the attack. Zed Williams. Ryan Conrad.
Don't share the ball.
Will Raley.
Share the ball.
Will Raley apparently looks really good.
Finish the ball.
We shall see.
Have defenders that aren't hack monsters. Have guys that are in shape play all over your field. And by the way, that they'll put them into shape too. That team is going to get whittled down like a Cub Scout leader. That team is going to get – he's teaching kids how – and kids are going to slice off their fingers and they're out. Trust me. They're going to lose more guys before the season starts. I bet you $20 there are guys on that team that don't make it to the season. They're on the roster right now.
Okay. We shall see.
Because that's what that team needs. And that's what they'll get. But the turnaround can't be as immediate as everyone is making it seem.
Yes, and that's one thing that, you know, Lars hammered home at Memorial Day weekend.
Good.
Was that when they lost to Maryland, they said this, you know, we got out of the locker room. We're obviously very upset, but we had a great year. It was so much fun. And it took so long. It took basically 2 years to kind of get that system to work as well as it did.
Yes.
So do you think it's going to take 2 years at Virginia? Or do you think he needs to start getting in his own guys via his recruiting classes?
2 years is fair.
2 years is fair?
2 years is fair.
Okay.
And he's going to have a larger recruiting pool to draw from. But he's going to have to – he's not going to just take guys that are talented. That's the thing about Lars. He's not going to just recruit guys that are good lacrosse players.
Yeah.
You're going to have to be a good human to play for Lars Tiffany. And that's why I like him so much as a coach and why I look up to him even though I'm a journalist now, quote unquote.
I look up to him too. I liked him. Like, I remember meeting him and I was like, I want to play for this guy.
Yeah.
I want to play for this guy. I'm basically retired. I'm a retired lax.
That's now. The guy you want. I mean, I'll tell you a quick Lars Tiffany story. He's playing in Placid about 5 years ago. And Lars, I know what he looks like, but he was playing defense and he had all Iroquois gear on, right? Because he's got a very strong relationship with Six Nations. And he was on another team and he had all that stuff on. And he slashed me hard. And I don't like being slashed. So I cross-checked him back.
Ooh.
And he didn't move, first of all. He just looked back and was like, oh, gonna be that kind of day? And he went after me on every possession. Got the better of me on some. I passed out of a lot of options, let's put it that way. Passed out of going against him a few times. But, I mean, that's the kind of guy he is. I mean, he's not going to take it lying down. I'm not saying that he's – going to not be good enough to turn the team around. I just think he needs more time.
Okay.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
He just needs more time to impose his sensibilities, not his will, his sensibilities on this team.
Okay.
That is in very dire need of said sensibilities.
All right. Going back to number 14 real quick, Albany. Any more thoughts on them? I think what you said is right.
Yeah.
I think Albany, even though Hartford, you know, won the America East last year, I think that Albany will stay the king.
Yeah.
King of the North, I guess, so to speak.
And that was a huge upset, too. And
yeah.
I thought Mar was going to explode.
I would expect a big year for Connor Fields. I think he's awesome.
Connor Fields is amazing.
And like you said, they ride. They've got great two-way middies. And they play a very – I mean, a lot of the times they can force the ball, but I still think they play a very attractive style of fast-paced game.
Yeah.
And I said, think Albany will put out a product that everybody knows and loves.
Yes.
Yes.
I will. I look forward to covering Albany games. Who's your last?
Who's number 15?
This one was tough. I'm not going to lie.
Is it going to make me upset?
I don't think so.
Okay.
It's Villanova.
God damn. Matt Kinnear? Is that you, Matt Kinnear? Matt Kinnear loves Villanova.
I think Matt has a strange love for Philly teams in general.
I mean,
would
he just
agree?
He loves Villanova, man. I mean, and I make fun of him every year. But Villanova's got star power. Villanova can score goals. I can't really go against that pick. I don't think it's bad.
Exactly. I
don't think it's bad.
I think I give Nova the nod because they have a great offense. Love the Fakaros.
Yep.
Specialist play in D has got to come along. But I think they will outlast Marquette in that conference. They just got to get past Denver. That's tough.
Tough ask.
It is a tough ask.
Tough
ask. Villanova has quite a few, tough games on their schedule as well.
Yeah.
But interesting enough, Villanova, I believe, is outside of our top 20. I can't think off the top of my head where they are. But I pick them over Richmond, Penn State, Fairfield, Air Force, Rutgers, and Marquette.
Of those, the most shocking is probably that you picked them over Penn State.
Really?
Because people love Penn State.
Well, I was going to say people love Rutgers.
Yeah, but they love Penn State. Is that your last 15? You're done?
Yeah, that's my last 15. We've gone on pretty long. That actually took a lot longer than I thought.
Yeah,
I do. You have a lot to say.
I never am lacking an opinion.
And that's why we keep you around. That's why you're the podcast Iron Man.
That's why. How do we want to wrap this up?
I was going to talk about schedules real quick. Because it's one thing that's kind of just going on right now.
That the schedules are being released.
Schedules are being released. We have had, I think, 3 ACC schools post their schedules within the past 3 days. And before that, there was no ACC schedules out. And everyone's like, where's the schedules?
Why don't we know
what games on TV.
Why don't we do your top 3? And then we'll get out of here. Everyone get a break from our voices.
I think UNC has a nice schedule. Play a few nice games at home. I'm not a huge fan of Maryland's schedule.
Okay.
In fact, I think... you're going to get me again.
Yep.
I think the best schedule, particularly at home.
If you say what I think you're going to say right now, this podcast is over. Say it.
Towson.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to say Hopkins, and then I was just like, I'm out.
Actually, Hopkins does not have that great of a home schedule.
Usually they do.
They play a lot of their big games away.
So people love that band.
What band?
Hopkins band.
Oh, the Hopkins band, of course.
Just kidding. Everyone hates the Hopkins band, except for the Hopkins fans.
I like the Hopkins band, man. They play good songs.
Okay.
Just the same song.
Zach Babbo with an appearance.
Yes.
We're in his office, by the way. Sorry, guys.
Syracuse only leaves the dome 5 times, I think, next year. That's a pretty clever home schedule.
There you go.
Yeah.
See? Bringing you insight from all over the office. All over the office. So who's your best schedule? You think Towson's the best
schedule? I think Towson's got the best schedule. I believe they play Ohio State, Hopkins at home, Loyola at home, and Denver at home. And that's just at United Stadium up in Towson.
Okay.
That's pretty fire.
Yeah, that's good.
That's lit, fam.
Oh. That's a great note to end on.
Yes.
It is lit, fam.
But anyways, if you've stuck with us, if you've stuck with all the yelling so far, wow, that's impressive. You definitely deserve a medal.
Thanks, guys.
But this is something we're going to try to keep going. As you probably have heard on the DMLP podcast, is that what we're calling now?
DML Pod.
DML Pod. We're not
hashtag DML Pod.
And you voted against DM Peons, right? As the name of those followers,
yes.
Right?
That was a poor choice by me, made in the moment.
I think you know how you get mad when you said DM Patriots. I think I threw my phone against
the wall. Oh, I'm sure everyone got mad. But that one I did on purpose.
I was triggered. I was enraged.
Yes. Yes. So that's what I do. I trigger. I get triggered.
I don't get mad very often with you, but I got mad there.
Okay. That's fair.
So, like we said, we are going to work with the title as In the Crease for this podcast. We're going to try to keep it going on a weekly basis as long as Kyle can check in from Isle North and hopefully get some Wi-Fi out of all that snow that's going to rain down upon him in the spring.
That's right. Can't wait.
In fact, I want to come to the Shire sometime soon.
You should.
I want to come to Boston. I want to see Isle North.
We'll go see a Dartmouth game.
Oh, yeah.
No, they're not Canadian.
I know. Sorry.
They're Ivy League. But, hey, thanks for having me on the pod. Check me out on other Inside the Cross podcasts, including the DMLP. Yeah, that is hard to say, huh?
Yeah, I think you should go with three letters.
Yeah.
DMP kind of sounds not so bad.
DMP sounds good. But, you know, follow me on Twitter at TheKyleDevitt, TheKyleDevitte. And also on Instagram, the same handle.
Yes, and from everybody at IL, we wish you a happy holidays, a new year. We are super excited for 2017 and all the great games that are coming along with it. Hope you join us. Thank you.
See you.